Thanks a million, Shane.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon. Hope you're well. 51551 for your texts. Ray at RTE.ie for your emails. Let me know how your day is going. Hope you're having a good one. And hopefully it was a bit better than maybe how mine started out this morning. I had a bit of a disaster, I'm not going to lie. I was on Ireland AM early this morning to do an interview, chatting away on the couch with the lovely Muireann O'Connell and the equally lovely Tommy Bow, and I had brought my phone out onto set, which the floor manager had told me to put on silent, and I shouldn't have done it. In fairness, it's the cardinal sin, you don't do it. But I did have it on silent, but in the middle of the chat I had it behind me, and stuffed it down behind one of the cushions on the couch. And anyway, in the middle of the chat, I'm chatting away and the alarm starts going off. Oh my goodness. So I frantically was like pulling it out from behind the cushions and jabbing it like a lunatic to try and turn it off. And of course, the lads were laughing their heads off, slagging me unmercifully, going, what is the alarm for? You know, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And I hadn't set an alarm. And it was only afterwards when I got back into the car and I'd sort of gathered myself, I figured out that I'd put a reminder in my calendar, in the notifications, that today was our wedding anniversary, which... of course I'd completely forgotten. He had two though, so that's okay. Anyway, mortified, but make me feel a little bit better today. I'd love to know, what is the worst thing that you have forgotten? Was it a special occasion of a loved one, or maybe your passport going to the airport? I know a lot of people have done that. I've definitely done that. And, you know, it's like when you think back, when we were kids, like going back to the 80s, it seemed to be a common enough occurrence that parents would forget their kids. Like, you know, you'd hear these stories about parents who'd like left their kid in the supermarket or remember them when they were driving out. It's like you don't hear stories like that anymore. What was happening in the 80s that was just okay? I mean, I know we've all forgotten the school pickup, and we've forgotten, you know, oh, it's my day to pick up from the childminders. So anyway, let me know the worst thing that you've forgotten. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Maybe you've been on a date where you've forgotten the person's name. That's awkward, isn't it? Mind you, not as awkward as some of the 20 questions we should apparently be asking on a first date, according to wellness consultant Julie Silver, who is in today's Irish Daily Mail. Julie has come up with what she reckons is the ultimate guide to find the perfect partner. Now, some of the questions I get, like, what are your friends like? Or how do you get on with your parents? That's all quite friendly and easygoing. But then also on her checklist are surefire questions like this. Are you a metrosexual? Are you addicted to your phone? How do you feel about an inclined bed? Now, I am sorry, but that line of questioning, is that not a bit intense for somebody that you've only just met? Like, I mean, you'd never get a second date if you came out with that. She also reckons first date conversation should include, would you like to have children and the big one? Would you like to get married? Because she reckons you need to weed them out early if they don't. Now, like, honesty is the best policy. We all get that. We don't like time wasting. But like asking somebody about marriage and kids after one latte and a scone, I mean, it's too much. What I want to know is Julie herself still single? Anyway, let me know your best, worst and best and worst date experiences. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. I mean, surely you just talk about holidays and the weather and your hobbies. Just keep it simple for the first one. You never have to see them again. And after that, then you can get into the nitty gritty, I reckon. What else? Yes, we're always told how breakfast cereals are not particularly good for us. But apparently Cheerios are different and in fact better than eggs. What? When it comes to having a healthy breakfast. So says a new study from scientists at Tufts University in Boston, who spent the last 3 years creating a food compass rating more than 8,000 foods from 1 to 100. And they've looked at all sorts of different things, nutrients, vitamins, minerals, processing, proteins, all of that. Anything above 70 is good. So as you'd expect, no major surprises. Fruit, veg, nuts, they're all up there. But eggs only scored 51. They're high in protein, but because of their high cholesterol, that has brought their ranking down. Whereas Cheerios, out of 100, got a top score, 95. was what Cheerios got. So Frosties, Corn Flakes and Special K, they all scored in the very low teens. So there you go. If your kids like Cheerios, it's a good news day for you guys. The obvious question, then yes, were there any foods that scored a perfect 100? And there were actually quite a few. Spinach picked up a perfect score, as did raw broccoli, watercress. Watercress is something I'd never think of buying. Strawberry, salmon. So there you go. But let's talk about, like, what is, if you were to have a breakfast of champions, what is it? If you were to go the full hog, it's Sunday morning, what would it be? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Rosita Boland has a lovely piece in the Irish Times today, and it's all about teddies. If you haven't read it, go and have a look. Have a look at it online. It's just wonderful. Herself and her siblings were clearing out the attic in their family home where they found their old teddies. Christopher and Mrs. Christopher were there. Breadboard the panda and her own beloved teddy, who she said, no way is he going into the skip. She writes, my beloved late Aunt Maine gave me Teddy when I was a very small girl. Teddy was a fluffy daffodil yellow bear who came with me on all my childhood adventures and whom I cuddled up to every night for years. There's always one toy from childhood that you never forget, the random one that somehow becomes the special one. There might be fancier, flashier, more Liberty Gibbet toys that come along, but as children we love what we love, and sometimes there is no reason for why we love one particular toy so very much. So what did she do? She put him in the washing machine and she brought him back to Dublin. There you go. And actually, when I was reading it, funny, my childhood confidant, my travel buddy, my adventure seeker, was also a big yellow bear called Ted. And he was a hand-me-down. He was so old that, like, I remember, like, I must have been about 12. And he was literally falling apart, that some mornings I'd wake up and there was the teddy bear filling, like, the last of it, like bits of polystyrene, like either in my mouth or in my hair or in the sheets. He definitely wouldn't pass the health and safety standards today, shall we say. But yeah, like, by the time, like, he had this one big pink nose. He had one eye. But I swear he is literally in every one of my childhood memories. He even held my hand when I was rushed to hospital after drinking white spirits. So he's special. He's a good one. So I'd love to hear from you. Do you still have your childhood teddy? Do you still sleep with it? Or maybe you've passed it down. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Texts, a few texts coming in here. Matt says, my phone went off at a funeral. The ringtone was Sweet Home Alabama. Oh dear. Oh no. We forgot our son Kevin at home at Christmas. Only realised on the plane halfway to Paris, says Joe. Like that joke, Joe. Catherine, congratulations on the wedding anniversary. It's ours too. And yes, I heard Larry ask his friends, what's her name, on our first date. Anyway, he knows it now, as we're 48 years married today. And that comes in from Gráinne in Ballymore Eustace. Congratulations and happy anniversary to you. I think that deserves a little bit of Stevie Wonder. What you reckon? The legend that is Stevie Wonder, that is Higher Ground. Lizzie says, Catherine, watercress is so easy to grow. It only takes days to sprout on moss peat or even damp cotton wool. As an ex-teacher, it made great watercress men in eggshells. Yeah, I remember those days as well. Then there is, oh yeah, some dodgy date stories. Geraldine says, I went on a date and had to pay for cinema tickets and drinks because he left his wallet at home. Well, do you know what? That could have been an honest mistake, Geraldine. I hope you gave him a second chance. Catherine, after a date where I bought my own drink and he got tap water, I told him I wasn't interested. He then asked me for the toll money he paid to come to my side of the city. Okay, that's a definite get out of here. Then we were talking about forgetting things. I was born in Galway 6 weeks before the family moved to Monaghan. As my parents sat in the car with my siblings ready to go, the removal man asked my mother if she wanted the baby in the Moses basket above on the bed. That's what she told me anyway. Dan said, I went home 5 days early from a holiday, completely forgot the dates. Emma in Limerick said, oh, this was to do with phones going off. My sister was in a funeral and her phone went off and it was this. You have new text message. High five. Not too bad, you might think, but it was in the accent of Borat and on loud volume. Oh, there you go. All right. Keep them coming in. But let me tell you about our quiz today. We are reeling in the years, as we always do, after 4 o'clock, and we've gathered up sounds, clips, and other bits and pieces from over the years and decades, news reports, TV shows, movies. We could play you a short clip, which gets you 2 points, or a long clip, which gets you 1 point. So are you brave enough to take part today? If you are, let me tell you about the prize, which will help to tempt you to pick up the phone. Our prize winners this week have a 2-night stay for two people, as well as a cocktail before dining on an evening of your choice at the Botanical Restaurant in the Hotel Dublin One. Designed for creative minds and social spirits, Dublin One is set on the North Circular Road. It offers unique, stimulating stays for guests who are hungry for more. They've got lovely, cozy rooms, all day dining at their Botanical Restaurant, lazy brunches every weekend, and a lovely courtyard to soak up some culture too. So if you want to find out more about them, you can check out DublinOneHotel.com. And the question that we have today is, Israel Olatunde last night became the fastest Irish man in history when he ran a race in 10.17 seconds at the European Championships in Munich. What was the race distance? Was it 100 metres or 1500 metres? Let me know. Give us a call, 0818715925. That is 0818715925, and we'll get you up after 4 o'clock with a chance to win that prize. Okay, back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, you're sending in your texts in huge numbers today, but I'm going to try and get back to them as the show goes on. But I want to get to this now, because we got an email into ray@rte.ie from Geraldine Mullen, and it is about a message of hope that she would like to share with us. This Saturday will be the second anniversary of when Geraldine's life changed forever. In 2020, she lost her husband John, her 14-year-old son Tomás, and 6-year-old daughter Amelia after the car they were travelling in plunged into Loch Foyle at Quigley's Point in Donegal. Geraldine was the only member of the family to survive. And in her email to us, Geraldine told us about creating a field of sunflowers that she's been growing that has, and in her own words here, given her hope as well as strength and courage to keep putting one foot in front of the other. The sunflower field will open to the public this weekend, and Geraldine joins me on the line now. Geraldine, how are you?
Good afternoon, Catherine. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good, thanks. Lovely to talk to you. And I know this week is leading up to the 2-year anniversary of when your life changed forever. How are you doing?
A very tough week, as you said, Catherine. You know, it's hard to believe in the blink of an eye. 2 years have passed since I lost my John, Tomás and Amelia. So, yeah, very, very poignant, very bittersweet. I can remember everything to the minute detail, what we did 2 years ago today, and I'm reliving it second by second. My heart is broken, and it's not going to change. But you know, day by day, and this week it'll be hour by hour. And
hour
as Saturday gets closer, it'll be moment to moment. But the field of hope will give me some strength and courage this weekend too.
Amelia was 6 at the time, Tomás was 14, and you were all getting ready for John, your husband, to turn 50, isn't that right?
Yeah, John was just 2 weeks shy of his 50th birthday. He would have been 50 on the 7th of September, so myself and the kids were excitedly getting organised. We had organised 50 presents for him for his 50th, and the kids were so excited, picking out different things. He had a love of music, so they'd got him a new guitar, and he had his old vinyl, so they had got a retro record player, and I love my photographs, so we'd picked out, well, the kids had picked out 50 photographs, and then we got them onto the mixed tiles. So yes, beautiful memories of what we were planning to do, but unfortunately they never came to fruition.
And I mean, it's like you were planning to do that just as your family, because of course it was in the middle of lockdown and you couldn't have a party.
Yeah, that's right, John. We'd asked him, and obviously, you know, 2020, everybody remembers, because that's when COVID first hit. So John didn't want a party. There was no travel. We loved our family holidays, but obviously there was no travelling during that time. It was a 2 and 5 kilometre radius, but all John wanted was to spend it with just the four of us. So yeah, the kids had the meal picked out, and as I said, they had their own individual presents, and as I said, we'd 50 of them organised, and some of them are still left unopened in the house. But yeah, as I said, he was an amazing dad and an amazing husband, and we were excitedly getting up to the Bertie's. Bertie's were a big thing in our house. John made such a fuss of everybody, so the kids were so excited because John used to do a thing on Bertie's. Even if it was his Bertie, we all got a gift. So Amelia, being six, was more excited about what Daddy was going to get her for his 50th. So, yes, he always put everybody first and himself last. So we were looking forward to spoiling him for his 50th.
Mm-hmm. And Geraldine, just when you spoke there about having the photographs and having the videos on your phone, which we all do, but how important are they? I'm just trying to even imagine myself, because they must be so special to have. But some days very difficult to look back on.
Yeah, like anybody that knows me knows I love my photos. Like from, you know, I love taking them. Don't like being in them, but I love taking them. So they, for me now, they're precious memories. Like, as I said, those 50 photographs I ended up putting up on the wall. So I have a photo wall in our kitchen, and each of them tell their own story. I know exactly where they were taken, what we were doing, and as they say, you know, a picture tells a thousand words, so they tell their own story. For me, they're precious memories of a time when I was happy in the, we were a family of four instead of me being a family of one now. But they're bittersweet, you know. I 2 years ago today, it came up in my memory, and it was Amelia doing a TikTok with her granny and granddad down in Galway. Even though she was six, she thought she was the next TikTok queen. I'm sure she would have been vying for your spot, Catherine. She probably would have thought, you know, she just loved music, loved dance. So it's beautiful to hear her laugh and her smile, but it's also heartbreaking because that's all I have now are memories, but they are so precious. So I'm so glad I took all the photographs when I did, because that's all I have now, and they mean so much to me.
And you know, you said something there that's made me think as well. You said, and there's so many of us go, I don't like being in photos. And actually, it's so important that we get into photographs with our children.
Yeah, no, like, you know, I always was of the attitude, you know, photographs, you take them. And Tomas, being 14, he had taken after me. He had such a great eye for photography, but he was at that age where he used to say, "Mum, you know, one photograph is 20, you don't need all 22. But I am so glad I have those 22 now. And, you know, Amelia, being six, it was all about the selfies. So I have, you know, one where she got my phone one day and it was 23 photographs of her doing 23 different poses. So, you know, it is important, you know, and I would be a firm advocate of getting the photograph, even if you're, you know, not in the mood, because, photographs are so important. And they bring you back to a moment in time. As I said, you know, I can look at a photograph and I know exactly where we were, what we were doing, and I can smell their smiles and their laughs, and it brings you back to a good time, Catherine. So, getting those photographs.
And I don't want to talk about the day of the accident, Geraldine, because I know how raw it still is. I know how much pain that you're still in. But two years later, I mean, how are you coping? You've explained there about having, you know, there's bittersweet memories. But day to day, how are you doing?
You know, I have good days and I have bad days. I'm so lucky. I've got you know, John's family, my family, our wider circle of friends, I've got great support, and I suppose it's the love and support that I've got since the accident that has enabled me to keep going. And I suppose first and foremost, it's the love that I got from John, Tomás and Amelia that made me the person that I am, and it's their love and strength that gets me up every day. And, you know, I can hear John saying, "Come on, my Galway girl, it's just another day," and Tomás and Amelia telling me, "Come on, Mummy, just put one foot in front of the other." So I'm back at work. I'm nursing. I love my job. I'm in Letterkenny, and I work with the cancer care. So all my patients are on their own cancer journey. So for me, when I go into work, I'm Geraldine the nurse, and if I can help them on their journey. So, and again, I get great support from my work colleagues. And then I'm back part-time, and then on my days off, my husband John would have ran a lovely garden centre in Mavill, but I'm not very green-fingered, although you'd be surprised when you see the 2.5 acres here now in Quigley's Point. But I didn't have anybody to run the garden centre as a garden centre after the accident, so we turned it into a community hub, and we called it the Mullen Hope Centre, with Hope standing for Hub of Positive Energy. And again, I look for a little bit of hope each and every day. So the love and support that I've got from the wider community since the accident, that's what has enveloped me and has kept me going and given me the strength to put one foot in front of the other. And I'm not going to lie, there are very tough days, and you know, this week is extremely tough, but you know, on those days I just look for something that will give me the strength to say, okay, it's just another day, and there's plenty of tears, and and that's okay too. And you know, as I said, I'm a firm believer in self-care, so you know, I look after my physical health, I look after my psychological health, and you know, when I'm not in good form, I accept that too. So yeah, day by day, Catherine, but 2 years doesn't really long going by, you know, it seems like in a blink of an eye. It was just the 19th of August, 2020, and now we're just a couple of days shy of the second anniversary. So, yeah, step by step.
Step by step. And I know you said you're a Galway girl. At the local community up there in Donegal, they've really wrapped their arms around you. And I know you've spoken so highly of them and how they've been such a great support to you. Tell me about John's Garden Centre and how you've changed it. As you said, it is the Mullen Hope Centre now. Tell me about that and how that's helped you.
Yeah, so as you said, like, I may be a Galway girl, but I'm firmly Donegal at heart now. And you know, my adopted town of Mayville and the wider Inishowen community, the way that they have come out in strength and have supported me and have held me up when the days I'm not able to physically keep going, they've been there and have been giving me that nod across the water when I'm walking with the dogs and that. So, as I said, John would have ran his business for 25 years, and unfortunately, as I said, I'm not green-fingered like my husband was, so we decided, a group has come together, and I wanted to give back to the community. As I said, it's the beautiful Inishowen community. Anybody that's blessed to live along these shores in Donegal, we're so fortunate, and just
it's
the way they opened
stunning.
Up their hearts to me.
It's stunning up
yeah.
there.
So, we turned the Garden Centre into a community hub. And as I said, hope is a word I hold on to. My motto would be never lose hope, even though I'm heartbroken. I look for a little bit of hope every day. So Mullen, obviously, after John, Tomás and Amelia, and hope for a hub of positive energy. John, Tomás and Amelia were so full of life. They were all taken before their prime. And I just wanted to give back to the community. So it has turned out into a lovely little community hub this last 14 months. We opened up in July of last year. And since then, we do beautiful artisan farmers markets. There's a beautiful sunflower market in it this Sunday with 38 traders showcasing beautiful craftsmanship all over Inishowen. It's been a catwalk. We had a fashion show in it last October on Amelia's 8th birthday. We've had concerts in it from the Mint Shed to local artists. We had a Christmas grotto and a winter wonderland. Christmas was very important in our house. John idolised Christmas, and in Christmas 2019, we had 9 Christmas trees in our house, and we don't have a big house, but he made most of them, one of them being a 12-foot one.
Wow.
So what we did is we put some of his Christmas spirit into the centre, and then I'm a firm believer in giving back, so we've done different charity fundraisers. I'm a big advocate of Laura Lynn. My 2 kids were 6 and 14, and being a nurse, I know the amazing work that Laura Lynn does, so any fundraisers that I can do for charity, we've been doing them. So, yeah, it's turned into a beautiful little hub where people can come. Like, as I said, there's live music there this weekend now. Yeah, people can come and gather. And I remember when we were allowed open after the first lockdown, and John being a garden centre, people used to come, and, you know, it was people feeling safe. So it's still an outdoor space. It is still a garden centre. So I have 3 polytunnels. One is named after John. One is named after Tomás, and the newest tunnel that John had just built in 2018 is named after our little darling, Amelia. So I, you know, have beautiful memories of the 4 of us over there helping John during lockdown, and it's lovely now when I go in and I see kids doing little youth club camps and doing music camps. And, you know, John was a gardener. I had a horticultural course in it earlier this year, so it's just whatever the community want to use it for. I just want to give back and say thank you, because as I said, it's the love and support, Catherine, that I've got that has enabled me to keep going. So it's my way of giving back, and it's one way of keeping their memory alive as well.
And do you find, Geraldine, that keeping a connection with John and Amelia and Tomás, like through friends, through the little, through the initiatives at the Garden Centre, you know, doing a fashion show because that's what Amelia loved to do. Do you find that that has helped you over the last 2 years? Like, do you find talking about them helps?
Oh, anybody that knows me, Catherine, once I start talking about them, I could talk about them for hours. Somebody once said to me that, you know, you die twice. You die when you die, and you die when somebody stops talking about you. So I suppose as long as I live and breathe, I will talk about my beloved three, you know, and the connection is very important. You know, I don't have my family anymore, so I don't get to be a granny. I don't get to be a mother-in-law. I don't get to see my daughter in her wedding dress walking down the aisle or my son graduating from college, but I will be able to live out their lives to their friends. So Tomás's friends are now all going into fifth year and leaving cert because he was due to go into junior cert when our accident happened. So next week I'm bringing a group of his friends out for dinner and I will hear about what they did during the summer, and I will close my eye and there'll be an empty space at the dinner table and it'll be for Tomás, because I know it should be him next week going for dinner with his friends, not his mum. And likewise with Amelia, she should have made her communion there in May, but I went to her communion and her classmates did a beautiful portrait of her. And, you know, for us as adults, we don't understand why things happen. I never understand why our accident happened, but when you're six and your little friend to go. So there are little messages on her card the day of the communion, with all little messages to Amelia up in heaven, saying that she would look beautiful in her communion dress and wishing her all the best and that they missed her. So for me, it's very important that I have the connection, you know. I love going into their class. Yes, there's an empty seat where Amelia should be, but her spirit is there and they love talking about her. And, you know, they'd be saying, if Amelia was here, she'd be doing this. If Amelia was here, she'd be doing that. And likewise for Tomás. So yeah, it's important for me. So as I said, in part, I probably will live out what I think their lives would have been. And when I see their friends getting taller and growing older and getting boyfriends and girlfriends and moving on, you know, part of me will close my eyes and think, what if and what but? And then the reality will hit that they're there and they'll be the ones that, you know, will be looking down on their friends and guiding them along the way. So yeah, getting back to your original question, talking about them, the connection, keeping, you know, in touch with their friends. And likewise, John was such a gardener. He was more than a gardener. He was more than a business owner. You know, you went in to buy a plant, but you came out with a bit of knowledge. And, you know, John was a firm believer. He didn't sell you a plant just because it looked good in the magazine. Anybody that knows where we live in Donegal, it's the wild of Donegal, and we can have four climates in one day. So, you know, he'd rather give you a bit of advice, because that plant would be dead within 24 hours with the coastline that we've here. But there was always a banter with him, and he always made time for everybody. So, yeah, the connection is very important, Catherine.
Yeah. My heart is breaking listening to you. And I just think you're an incredibly strong woman. And, you know, I also think it's worth saying that kids are amazing, really, aren't they? When, you know, they need to give you support. They do, their friends, and having all those lovely memories of them as well.
Yeah, you know, they are. You know, like, Amelia did her water safety course the week before our accident happened. And, you know, I have beautiful memories of John had to work. I had an interview for a new job at work on the Monday, and John said, look, we'll sort out your prep tomorrow, go to the beach with the kids. So I spent the Saturday before our accident on the beach, and Amelia was girly 1 minute, and then climbing the rocks with her friend Louis 2 minutes later, and she was such a tomboy, she was telling him he wasn't doing it right, and, you know, but that was her, she ruled the roost. And yeah, as I said, you know, you just have to keep going. And you know, it is, life isn't fair, and I just have this journey that I'm on. It's not the one that I planned. I thought I was going to grow old with my darling John, and, you know, but unfortunately, 20th of August 2020 changed that. But, you know, I suppose I live for the four of us. You know, Amelia being six, as I said, she was a little rascal, Catherine. She ruled the roost to most. You just told me to do something, it was done. With Amelia, she would barter with you, but I wouldn't have it any other way. But,
of course,
you know, I can remember something she said. You know, obviously I'm a nurse and it's a 2-hour commute and our two work. And so I was gone early in the morning. It was John that did the school drop-offs and pick-ups. And one morning, you know, I was sad. You know, I was giving her a hug and a kiss before I went off to work. And then she just said, you know, Mommy, there's four corners in your heart. And she goes, I'm in one corner, Daddy's in the other corner, Tomás is in another corner, and you're in the other corner. So she said, if you're at work today and you're sad, you put your hand over your heart. And she goes, me, Daddy, and Tomás are still there. And at the time, I thought it was something sweet that a six-year-old said. John and Tomás said, that's beautiful. Well, those words echo so poignantly since the 20th of August. And I'm sitting here talking to you and putting my hand over my heart. So in part, what that little six-year-old said is so true. I don't have them with me physically, but they're with me in spirit. And, you know, my heart is beating for the four of us. It's not what I planned or I wanted, but that's the way it is. And I just will accept it over time.
And to have that from her to hold on to.
Yes.
Talk to me, Geraldine, about the sunflowers, because there are 2.5 acres of beautiful sunflowers up there that people can. You want people to go this weekend. You want people to go and pick a sunflower, and you want to spread the message of hope.
Yeah, so as I said, in 2020, the next village to us in Moville, Redcastle, we're doing a sunflower festival where they were encouraging children and adults to plant a sunflower. So Amelia wanted to get involved. So again, one Sunday morning in the centre, John said, right, we'll do it. And John, being so patient and kind, explained about this little seed. You plant it, you nurture it. As John used to say, plant a seed and see what grows. And he explained this tall, majestic flower would come out of this little shoot. And Amelia, unbeknownst to us, had convinced her older brother, Tomás, to put more seeds in than we expected. So when it came to transplanting them a couple of weeks later, because John explained, keep them in the heat, nurture them, and after a few weeks when they're a little bit stronger, you know, you can put them outside. But we ended up catching with 31 pots of sunflowers, so she obviously got her hand on more than one sunflower. So that summer we had 31 pots of sunflowers on the side of our house. John had explained to them, you look after them, this is what you need to do. And I had just sent in the photograph to Redcastle of Amelia's sunflower. Little did I know that it would, you know, be so poignant, because it was one of the last photographs I had taken of her with the sunflowers. So I kept one of their sunflowers in 2020, and out of the one sunflower I kept, I got 170 sunflowers in last year for the festival. Then Redcastle decided this year they would rename the Sunflower Festival the Mull and Hope Sunflower Festival. And little did I know, I said to my good friend Catherine, you know, jokingly, look, I have 170 sunflowers this year, sure, next year we'll plant a seed. And that obviously planted a seed in Catherine's head, and she came down to my house last October, and over a cup of the two of us thought, OK, why don't we do that? So we had a bit of convincing. Catherine's dad, John, has a beautiful plot of land here overlooking the Foyle, and it's normally oats or barley or wheat that he tins. So, yeah, he had a Galway woman and his daughter trying to convince them, you know, to go with us, because it was a chance. We didn't know whether they would take. So we planted 2.5 acres, and there's now a beautiful, majestic field of glorious sunflowers. And
they look incredible, Jordan, because you sent us in photographs as well. They are just beautiful. I mean, the sun always shines in Donegal, as they say, but like, it's blue sky and just these beautiful rays of sunshine is all
it
I can
is.
Describe
them
as.
And again, hope is a word that I cling on to. So we decided, right, if we're making a maze, let's make the maze with the word hope. So basically, when people come on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, they will start, and the path actually is the word hope in cursive writing that is joined up. And we had, you know, the last few weeks, I was here from early morning, leaving the hospital and coming here till late at night, pulling out the sunflowers. So people will have their own journey of hope that they can walk on. And then at the end, I will have sunflowers cut. I'm so conscious of health and safety, so I don't want anybody bringing in scissors. I will have the sunflowers cut. So when you finish the maze, you will have a sunflower with a little information fact from Amelia and Tomás on how to keep your seeds and plant them next year. So I suppose, in essence, I'm asking people to come, walk the path of hope, bring a little bit of hope away with them, and plant a little bit of hope, because we all need a bit of hope, Catherine. You know, I have my journey, but I'm conscious with the pandemic, with everything that's going on, you know, I'm conscious of Ukraine, their national flower is sunflower. So, you know, there's people need hope each and every day. So hopefully this weekend, a little bit of hope will spread over in Ishuan and further afield.
Can I read you just a few of the texts that have come in here, Geraldine?
No problem.
Geraldine is a power of strength. Best wishes to her from all her friends in Tipperary. She is one of the most amazing and courageous women I've ever heard. I hope she finds happiness, says Patrick. Could you pass on my good wishes to Geraldine? It's lovely to hear and know how she's doing. I've been praying for her since that dreadful day 2 years on, and often wondered how she's getting on. So lovely to see the beautiful sunflower field that has grown in her daughter's memory, and honour her husband and son also. And that comes in from Rita. My heart is breaking. What a courageous and beautiful woman. I'm so touched. I'm planning the 4-hour each way road trip next week to pick a sunflower and spread the love for that special family. I'm walking the dogs, Catherine, listening to the show. Thank God I'm wearing sunglasses because I'm in tears listening to this brave, wonderful woman. And that's what you are, Geraldine. You're incredible. You're so strong. And thank you, I suppose, for taking the time and sharing the beautiful memories of John, Tomás and Amelia. And we are just sending you buckets of love, buckets and buckets of love. And I'm sure your message of hope will spread. And we, for everybody going on Saturday, we want you to have a wonderful day. They will buoy you up, Geraldine. You've got the support there. You will get through it. And we'd like to play the song for you, I think, and for everybody going on Saturday. So mind yourself is all I'd say, and take care of yourself. And as you said, moment by moment.
That's right. Catherine, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And as I said, you know, people that come, just come and enjoy it and create a new memory. And yeah, never lose hope.
All right. Nice chatting to you, Geraldine.
Thank you, Catherine.
And that was Geraldine Mullen that I was chatting to there. What an unbelievable woman. Just such a tower of strength. And we can't get through all the texts, but thank you so much. And what we're going to do is try and pass them on to her. And if you would like to find out more about the Field of Hope, which will be open to the public from this Friday, the 19th of August to Sunday, the 21st of August, you can go to their social media pages. It's the Mullen Hope, at the Mullen Hope on Facebook and the Mullen Hope on Instagram as well. Okay, we are going to be talking to the wonderful author Catherine Ryan Howard after the break, and I'm really looking forward to that. Join us in a few minutes.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, author Catherine Ryan Howard is hailed as Ireland's queen of high concept crime fiction. Her last book, 56 Days, won the Irish Book Award for Crime Novel of the Year and was a bestseller. Her new book, Runtime, is a gripping thriller based on the set of an Irish horror film. She's a writer at the top of her game, but it wasn't all plain sailing in her career. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that. Catherine joins me in studio now. Lovely to see you. How are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good, good. So I am 3/4 of the way through Runtime. So give us the lowdown. Tell us the plot.
So essentially, it's a thriller set on the set of a horror movie where the script starts to mirror the events on the production. And the entire script for the movie is inside the novel because scripts have a lot of negative space. So that took up, you know, a lot of pages.
So Adele Rafferty, she is your main character in the book. So she was an ex-soap star, ex-Irish soap star.
On Ireland's second worst soap opera.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So things didn't work out for her here?
Yeah, well, they kind of did work out for her, and it kind of perhaps went to her head, and she decided to take off to LA and chase her dreams of, you know, being a Hollywood star. And it didn't quite work out. Now she's working in a motel that is famous for being the setting for true crime reenactments. So a roach motel, basically.
Okay. So where did you get the idea for the book? Where did it come from?
My brother is really enjoying the publicity campaign for this novel because it came from him. So a few years ago, he was in this Irish independent horror movie called Beyond the Woods, which was filmed in very similar circumstances in a secluded house in the wilds of Cork, and I think during the winter, mostly at night. And one of the things he told me is when they first got to the area, they had to go to the local Garda station and say, look, if someone calls you at 4 a.m. and says someone is screaming in the woods, they're getting murdered. They're not. It's just us. But as a crime writer, I was immediately like, well, what if they are getting murdered? That's actually a really good cover.
I love that. And did you have the conversation with your brother? If this goes well, if this is a bestseller, like, does he get any little kickback for coming up with it?
No, he's had enough kickbacks already.
Okay.
I think if anything ever gets optioned, I will have to do my duty and say, by the way, my brother is an actor, so can we give him a little part in it?
But what's his name? Or shall he just be the brother?
It's John, and we're actually just Howards. Ryan is my mother's maiden name that I put in to differentiate from the fifth wife of Henry VIII, and then John stole it. So he's John Ryan Howard. He will claim he did it first, but that is a lie.
I love it. And just when you're talking about options, like books getting optioned, is that the pinnacle for an author like yourself where, you know, the type of novels that you write, they're so brilliantly adapted to movies. Is that whole movie space something that intrigues you, something that interests you?
Yeah, like most of my books have been optioned, but the way that I would explain it to people, because if you say to people...
Yeah, what does it actually mean?
Yeah, it means very little, to be to be honest. People think, oh, if you get an option, it'll be on Netflix in September. That's not the way it works. So I describe it as having like a ticket for the lotto. I have a better chance of winning the jackpot than someone who doesn't have a ticket, but my odds of winning the jackpot are about the same. So it just takes, they option so many things and they make so little of it. But hopefully, you know, there's a couple of things ticking along and one day maybe I'll see something on screen. But my priority is absolutely the books.
Okay.
And so if that happens, it'll make me happy because it will increase the sales of the books. It's not so much the, you know, it's seeing things on screen. It'd be great, but that's not my priority.
Okay. And did you always want to be a writer?
Always. So I famously work with a picture on my desk taken on Christmas morning, 1989, where I'm tapping away on like one of those petite typewriters.
Yes.
And Barbie's pink magic van, which was the greatest toy ever, sits off to one side, ignored, because I'd asked Santa for the typewriter. So I always wanted to do this ever since I figured out that you could do this as a job.
Okay, so as a young kid, that was always what you wanted. But I suppose the journey there wasn't straightforward, shall we say?
Yeah, it was more of a squiggle than a straight line, I would say, or a spiral. I think for a long time, I made a mistake that I find a lot of aspiring writers make, which is that I read all the books and I went to all the workshops and I did all the things, but I very rarely did any actual writing.
Okay.
Which it turns out is a crucial part of getting, who knew? Who would have guessed?
So when you had the fancy pens.
I had the perfect pens. If you gave me a quiz on how to format a manuscript, like I had a PhD in that, but I never actually, like I was all ready to go except for having actually written the novel.
Right.
Yeah. So when I finally got around to doing that, it happened quite quickly, but it probably took me, you know, I mean, I was 33 when I got published. So it let's say from 8 until 33.
That's quite the journey.
I was just taking my time.
So when you say you got published, like did you get a deal? Like what happened?
So it started off very exciting. Like I got an agent quite quickly, and 5 days after she sent the book out on submission, as we call it, to various publishers, I had a preempt, which is like a kind of exploding offer where it's just all a lot of excitement. And I thought, like, this is it. Like my dreams are literally coming true. But, you know, it's okay to talk about this now. I didn't at the time. But like my first couple of books absolutely did not set the world alight. My second novel came out during the snow in 2018.
Oh,
so
God.
Like, I mean, it didn't even chart. And it was quite devastating because it was like, here's the thing I have dreamed of all my life. I made it happen somehow, but now it hasn't come to meet me in the middle. It's not working out the way I thought. But
how do you keep the momentum? How do you keep the belief in yourself?
Yeah, Rosé mostly. But the only thing you can do, literally the only thing you can do, because publishing is a roller coaster no matter where you are, no matter how successful you are. The downs are so low and the highs are so high. And the only thing you can do, the only thing you have any control over is the next book. And you just have to put your head down and write it and hope that this will be the one. And each book did a little better than the one before. And my fourth book, The Nothing Man, was really well received. And then I had this weird idea to write a novel in lockdown. And apparently people wanted to read that, it turned out. So everything is going really well
because
right now.
Because I remember actually there was like a couple of friends of mine who are journalists or whatever saying that this will be a time where we don't actually, like for writers, I suppose, that we don't want to.
Yeah. It wasn't just your colleagues who were saying that. It was everyone on Twitter was, I don't ever want to read anything about lockdown.
Nobody write anything to do with lockdowns. And
I'm at home like squirreling away.
And you went
writing.
On and like wrote a bestseller. And
yeah.
So does that mean then that like, so even with runtime, do you have the pressure? Is it like the next movie? Is it like the second?
I mean, yeah, my throat is tightening right now just thinking about it. But honestly, like you can't keep writing a better book. Like at this point, I'm just really trying to focus on the body of work. And not everyone will love every book, but all I can do is write the book that I really want to and be proud of it, and I'm just so grateful that I get to do my dream job.
And what a genre. I mean, I love crimes, I love thrillers, and
I presume reading crimes, yes. Cats, you're not commissioning them.
reading crimes, like brilliant crime novels. And there are some amazing women in Ireland writing some amazing stuff at the moment.
Yeah, we are really punching above our weight when it comes to female crime writers, the likes of, you know, I mean, I'll start naming them now and then I'll walk out the door and realise I forgot half of them. But obviously,
so don't name any of them.
Okay, I won't name any of them. Yeah. You can imagine them, but there's many in this country. So it's great that we have this amazing community and that our stories are having, you know, international success. I think it's great. We're also giving Ireland a terrible name because it seems like there's a really high crime rate and terrible things are happening here. But besides that, it's all good.
Listen, as I said, I'm really enjoying the book at the moment. It's runtime. So lovely chatting to you today. I know it's doing so well. So we'll be eyes and ears open for the next one, for movies, for all sorts. Catherine Ryan Howard, lovely chatting to you today.
Thank you so much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Anish Toshin and the Preach Gael to Nanuktal and Moira the Wallish. Gura Mahagat Moira, lots of texts coming in for Geraldine Mullen, who I was chatting to a little earlier on. I'm sitting outside the car, Catherine, outside the Eye and Ear Hospital, listening to Geraldine. Oh my God, tears streaming down my face. So sad. What an incredible lady. Massive hugs to her. Mother of two beautiful daughters, who's also called Catherine. Jan says, what an amazing woman, a remarkable lady. May God bless her always. Then we have, that's my niece, Catherine Ryan Howard, that's on chatting to you, Catherine, well done to her. And I am Tom Ryan, her uncle. Met you on the RTE music train some years ago, Catherine. I drove it from Limerick Junction to Killarney. There you go. Nice to hear from you, Tom. Thanks for texting in. Okay, we have our quiz today, so let me tell you about it. Yes, we are reeling in the ears and we have two players who are ready to take each other on this afternoon. We have David and Michelle and we're going to chat to them in a couple of minutes. What are they playing for? Well, it is two nights stay for two people, as well as a cocktail before dining on an evening of your choice at the Botanical Restaurant in the Hotel Dublin One, designed for creative minds and social spirits. Dublin One is set on the North Circular Road, offers unique stimulating stays for guests who are hungry for more. They have lovely cosy rooms, all day dining, lazy brunches every weekend and a courtyard to soak up all of the culture in the heart of one of Dublin's most creative neighbourhoods. You can find out more on dublinonehotel.com. Alright, as I said, we have two players ready to do battle and this prize is for creative minds. Let's find out how creative they are. David and Michelle, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Catherine. Good afternoon, David. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
How are you?
I'm very good.
So I think we have Michelle is player number one. Is that right? The guys are telling me here. Okay. And David, you are player number two. So Michelle, let's start with you. How are you, my dear? Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm actually calling from, would you believe, the Talbot Hotel in Carlow.
Great spot. A great
Brilliant spot.
Spot.
And I'm in the Sun Trap, so it's beautiful.
Lovely. And are you
I'm originally from Cork.
I was about to say, are you a Carlovian? That does not sound like a Carlow accent.
No, it's not a Carlow accent, I'm afraid. Disgraceful. I'm from Cork.
Very good. What has you in Carlow, so?
Twas our wedding anniversary on Monday.
Lovely.
And I just love coming to this hotel. I've been coming here now for about 10 or 11 years and bring my family for Christmas holidays and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, to my hubby, whose name is David, no coincidence there, ha ha. I said, can we go to Carlow for a couple of days for our wedding anniversary there, honey? And he was like, ah, sure. Go on, anything for a quiet life. You know yourself, David, guy. You know yourself, don't you?
Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, well, anything for a quiet life.
And who was there, Michelle? Was it just yourself and David?
Yeah, just myself and David.
Lovely.
And a good book.
Lovely. And who, do you have kids?
I do. I have three children and David has two. They're all big grown ass adults and they have children themselves now.
Oh, very good, very good.
So, we've seven grandchildren between us. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, amazing, amazing. Well, so if you win this prize, I assume David will honour you winning and take on the trip to Dublin as well as the trip to Carlow.
Well, you would assume that now, wouldn't you, Catherine?
I would.
Yeah. Ashley, you'd be dead right there. You'd be dead right.
All right. Well, listen, we'll get you to hang on the line there. Nice to chat to you, Michelle. David, you where too. Are you calling from, my friend?
Catherine, good afternoon. I'm actually sitting outside a caravan. Nothing as glamorous as a hotel. I'm in West Forest in County Wicklow.
Listen, I'm all about the van life. David. I'm all about van life.
Love it.
So is it your own caravan or?
Yeah, it's a tour. Yeah, it's my own caravan, fully behind the car.
Lovely, lovely.
I love it. I've been caravanning about 15 years now, so well and truly into the spirit of caravanning.
Wow. What's the best thing about caravanning? Like, what do you love about it so much?
Exactly what I'm doing now. I'm sitting here in my caravan hot. I've just had a burger. I'm just going to sit and just enjoy the sun for the afternoon.
Lovely.
That's what I love about it. It's just so relaxing.
And are you one of these caravanners who kind of make it up as you go along? Like, you just
see how you're
feeling, if you want to stay an extra day. That's what's so brilliant about it.
Well, that's it. Well, we tipped off down to British Bay Beach yesterday. A lovely walk at the beach, and we're going to have a ramble on Arco in the afternoon. And I just take it as it comes. There's no agenda.
And are you there on your own, having a quiet life?
No, my dearest darling wife is here today, Mark.
Right.
She's here, she's down, and the dog is here. But I'm pretty well set up here now.
Okay, so Margaret and the dog. What's the dog's name?
Molly.
Okay, so Margaret and Molly are going to give you a hand with the quiz.
I hope so.
All right, Michelle and David, good luck to you both. Do you want to wish each other the best of luck?
Good luck, David. Good luck,
darling. All right, Michelle, you are player number one. The year is 2010. Okay. So 2010, we're going to start with a movie question. Do you want to go long or short?
Let's go short.
Short is for 2 points, just as a reminder for yourself and for everybody listening. So this is to try and bank two points. In 2010, this high concept action movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio and from director Christopher Nolan was a big hit. Can you name the movie?
Dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something was actually strange.
Ooh, is that a hard one? What do you think, Michelle?
Oh, that's really hard.
Leonardo DiCaprio, 2010.
No, drawing
no.
a blank.
Okay.
No. Sorry.
Don't worry. It was Inception. That is the movie that we were looking for.
Yeah, I would never have got it.
Yeah, no, that was a hard one, I have to say. Okay. Stay where you are. Don't worry. Come on, David. Let's do this. It's your movie. Michelle, you sound more excited for David to win this than for you to win it.
Ah, sure, look. What can you do?
All right.
Spread the love.
Okay. In the movies, David, it's 2010. Do you want to go long or short?
Long.
Please. Okay, for 1 point. In 2010, this romantic comedy set in Ireland starred Amy Adams. Can you name it?
Now, it's a tradition. It's a romantic tradition.
It's a day for desperate women trying to trap themselves a man who clearly doesn't want to get married. You gotta know if your man wanted to propose. He'd have done it already. Fact.
All right, Dave, what do you think? Do you know the movie? And Michelle, if you know it, don't shout it out.
Is it Leap Year?
Yes, it is Leap Year. Well
Yay!
Done. So one point for you, Dave. Okay, Michelle, come on. This is where you can redeem yourself. This is music.
Right, so.
The year is 2010. Do you want to go long or short?
Sure. If you're not in, you can't win. Let's go short.
Go on. Okay, this American singer had a hit with this party anthem in 2010. I have a feeling you're going to know this one, Michelle.
Oh, God.
We will take the name of the song or the singer.
Okay. Oh.
Come on, Michelle.
Hello, Russia.
No. Da 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 da. Oh God! Need an answer, Michelle. No.
Pretty little thing.
Yes, come on.
Yeah.
No, they're making me wind it up.
My daughters are going to kill me. It's okay. My daughters are going to kill me. Carry on. Sorry.
So raise your
Pretty
glass.
Little something.
You raise your glass from
raise
pink.
Your glass. There you go, pink.
Pink.
Yeah.
One of the greatest female artists.
Yep,
I love her.
Absolutely. I agree.
Hard luck, Michelle. Okay, Dave.
No bother.
That means we are back to music. It is 2010. Are you going to go long or short? You've got one point on the board already.
I'd have to go long, and that was a bit of a clue, but 2010 years. Give it a go, anyway.
All right. sit back outside your caravan, David. Close your eyes, okay?
Okay.
Take a listen. It's this is for one point. In 2010, this song was a huge hit for an American singer and rapper. Can you name the song or the singers? We'll take either one of them. Take a listen. Just gonna stand there
and watch me burn. Oh God, I know this. Because I like the way you burn.
No, David.
I wouldn't have a clue.
It wasn't Katy Perry. It was Rihanna featuring Eminem. Went to number one in Ireland and in the US. Okay.
Wouldn't have a breeze.
Wouldn't have a breeze. And did Margaret not know it? No.
She was shouting something out the door, but she had to shout the wrong answer to me.
Michelle, that means you are still in with a chance here, okay?
Oh, cool. So, right, so,
this is the news question. It's 2010.
Okay.
Now, do you want to go long or short? David is on 1 point.
Okay.
So
I have to go short, really, don't I?
Well, you could go for it. You could go for a tiebreaker and hope he makes an absolute hames of the last one, or you could go. You could go and try and bag two points and get them on the board.
Go on, Sherlock.
2 points.
We go for the 2 points.
2 points.
Yeah, go
you know, if you're, really going, if you're going to go out in style, Michelle, or if you're going to go out, you might as well go out in style, right?
Might as well go out swimming. Go on.
All guns blazing.
All guns blazing, by you, Sarah.
Okay. This is your news question. Get your serious head on you now, Michelle.
Right, so. Oh, I don't have one of them. Hang on. I left one at home with me. Damn. Okay, carry on.
In the news. Okay. In 2010, a crime drama series began on RTE that would become one of the most successful Irish dramas of all time. Can you name this drama?
One of the girls could have found it, God knows. Did you think about that? The house could have been raided. I could go to prison, have my kids taken off me.
Oh, that's the one with Nidge.
Yes, Michelle, come on!
That's the one with Nidge. Oh, Jesus. And it's the one with your man, the chop cat. Come on, brain.
We need the name of the show, Michelle. We can't accept Nidge.
C-D-E-F-G-H. No, I can't remember.
Michelle!
And there's absolutely nobody out here on the desk that remembers it. Kin is in my head, but I can't get rid of Kin.
Okay, do you know, you are going to kick yourself. It is Love Hate.
Love Hate, there you go. That's really gone far as G. Sure, G as well is another couple of letters after that.
That means, unfortunately, Michelle, that was not one of your finest moments, I'm afraid.
Sherlock, I'm on my holidays.
You've had such a lovely time in the Talbot Hotel in Carlow. The brain has switched off. That's what's after happening there.
Exactly.
Too much Prosecco. 100%.
Too much Prosecco.
There you go. Not enough.
Michelle, we are going to send you two Ray Darcy Show cups. Cups? Mugs, even. Who drinks from a cup anymore? And we'll send them down to Cork.
That's new now as well.
See, and you'll start the coffee now and you'll listen back to that clip and you'll go, how in the name of God did I get them wrong? But anyway.
I know.
Listen, you've been a great sport.
Every Sunday night.
You've been a great sport.
Not a bother day.
Lovely
enjoy
to chat
day,
to you.
Darling.
Enjoy
your hotel
in Carlow.
Nice to chat to you. David, you are off to the Dublin One Hotel on the North Circular Road for Creative Minds. I hope yourself and Margaret are ready for it, are you?
Absolutely, ready to go.
You can pull the caravan up. I'm sure they'll park it around the back for you.
Oh, I'm sure it would look well outside the hotel, wouldn't it? It would look well outside the hotel. I might get clamped.
You don't want... Have you had your caravan clamped?
No, I don't.
You wouldn't be breaking those rules.
No. Well, I clamp them myself just in case, but I wouldn't be clamped.
Listen, lovely chatting to you. Safe driving, safe caravanning. Nice talking to you.
Appreciate it.
Back after this.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That is a wonderful One Direction story of my life. I have to say, I just think that is such a bopper of a tune. Absolutely love it. Okay, we may be into our last few weeks of summer, but the good news is it's never too late to squeeze in a last minute staycation in Ireland. Sure, look at Dave there in his caravan, sitting back, having his burger, loving life. And in fact, Keith has texted in, I think you should get those two on every week to do a quiz. They were great crack. I don't know if we'd have enough time, quick Keith. I don't know. Anyway, we have lots of staycationing still to do, and there's always something new new to discover in the country, with new attractions and accommodation options always seeming to pop up. So from new forest walks to forest bathing, literally, travel editor with the Irish Examiner, Tom Brannock, is here to give us some last minute getaway inspiration. Tom, how are you, sir?
Yeah, great. Now today, Carton, how's it going?
All good, all
ready
good.
For road.
Yeah, ready for road. Absolutely ready for road. Well, let's start, because I always feel that you've got so much more, we never get to it. So we are going to visit Ireland's highest treetop walk.
Yeah, no, I don't know if it's had too much competition to gain that title, but I know we've all fallen in love with, I mean, even more so over the pandemic and with nature and our woods and whatever. So what better way to experience Ireland's native woodlands than with this new attraction in County Wicklow? So it's Quilch's Avondale Forest Park treetop walk. It's called Beyond the Trees. Mm-hmm. And so it's a massive new project, which was done by Quilch and this German company called Erlebnis Academy. They've created other hilltop walks around the world. It's actually, it looks like something you'd kind of see out in Singapore, as this kind of amazing, kind of futuristic garden village. So what it is, it's a 1.2 kilometre all accessibility, so wheelchair pram friendly walk, which weaves you through the forests for just over a K, and then you start to ascend. So you spiral up this 38 metre, so about 12 stories high, trail until you reach this incredible viewing platform on top. So you've got 360 views all over the woodlands and the Wicklow countryside. And the best thing of all is you have the option at the end to take a slide down the bottom. So that's, I guess, where the fun really starts.
I love this. I mean, I'd seen this a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't know. I'd seen the big slide in the papers and covered on online, but I didn't actually realise the extent of the trails and how it weaves through the forest and then how it ascends all the way up. So yeah, it's pretty impressive looking.
It's really impressive, and they have a cafe too, and it's a bit of an afternoon out. It's going to take you a couple of hours to do it, and it's 14 quid for adults, 11 euros for children, and there's, you know, the usual concessions there.
Okay, and that's in the Avondale Forest Park in Wicklow, if people want to look that up. Talk to me about forest bathing. I feel that forest bathing wasn't even a term about 2 years ago, but exactly. I know I'm going to be corrected on that. Nobody text in, but it's everywhere now, isn't
it? It's a bit of a sea swimming situation, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we've been swimming in the sea for years. It's not like we've just started sea swimming.
Yeah. So forest bathing is just, I think, people
walking in the forest.
Walking in the forest, like with a meditative twist. But now in this beautiful place in up in Coleraine, so the North Antrim coast, but actually in County Derry, it's called Burnmore Nest, and they've created a collection of these gorgeous cabins in a patch of woodland, and they're all named after trees. You've got the robin's perch, the peacock's roost. They're beautiful, like your typical kind of Instagram friendly cabin.
Okay, love the sound of these, like forest cabins. Okay.
Oh yeah, gorgeous. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, your typical cabin porn, like beautiful frame windows where you overlook the woods. They're really nicely kitted out with king beds, kitchenette, even your own home cinema. You've got your fire pit and barbecue outside.
Wow.
But what the literal forest bathing shtick is that they all come with their own private baths within the woodland. So you and your partner, or if you're flying solo, can go out in the bath and just kind of really soak in the sounds and nature of the Derry woodlands. And their whirlpool tubs again, so you can have a bit of fun with those.
Okay, I'm looking at a picture of it here, and
it's stunning, isn't it?
There's a very happy looking lady in a bath in the trees
with a glass of Prosecco.
Okay,
why
I want to
she
be
think,
her.
Says you, yeah.
And actually, just speaking, like, because Antrim, I mean, the Antrim's Causeway Coast is stunning, and I think tends to, like, we focus on the Wild Atlantic Way, but there's some really cool little spots up there, isn't there?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And like you say, I think it well patches stacks up to anything. Most things along the Wild Atlantic Way, there are some. I mean, you've got, it's loaded with all these sites, like the Musselden Temple, obviously the Giant's Causeway, the Dunluce Castle, and they're just only a few of them. But what's nice, what I love about that road is that there aren't a lot of those really high ditches that kind of detract from your view. So you've got spectacular views as it winds your way all around, and literally kind of those humpback bumps that'll take your breath away from time to time too. So once you venture beyond your Prosecco and hot tub, you can enjoy that.
Somebody is texting her what the place again. So it's Burrenmore Nest in North Antrim. So they're beautiful cabins. And again, like the cabins themselves, they kind of look like, and I know they're not, but they're sort of the same shape as shipping containers, would I say that? But they're all wood and glass.
Yeah, they're quite cubic. Yeah,
they're beautiful. Yeah, but and some of them are elevated and some of them are down lower. Yeah, look, they look stunning. Stunning. Okay. Next, we are going to the Cajafields Visitor Centre in Mayo.
Yeah, another overlooked coast, I think, to agree, is the North Mayo coast. And I don't think the Cajafields get enough credit. I mean, I don't know if they're going for UNESCO accreditation, but it definitely deserves it. It's the world's most extensive Stone Age site and said to be home to the oldest field systems in the world, which is pretty incredible. So when you go there, you have all, you can see signs of these even walls and systems which have been preserved by, you know, the bogs over the thousands of years. Now, they've opened a new visitor centre this year, so it's a far more kind of immersive experience into that kind of like old, rich Irish heritage and the Neolithic farmers who used to work the land there 6,000 years ago, which is pretty, like, it's hard to get your mind around that, those kind of figures, but it's definitely worth, it's like a really world, I mean, it's a world-class experience. It doesn't look that dramatic, but it's the kind of the idea behind it that just really kind of blows your mind. And like with the North Antrim coast, you've got so much along Mayo as well with Dumbrista, which became really popular thanks to Instagram in recent years. That's that, you know, down Patrick Head, that like standalone sea stack, which is so incredible out there. So lots of incentives to.
And then you've got the Wildnathan Ballycroy National Park there as well.
Yeah. One of Ireland's most remote spots, so great for hiking, and that's definitely a winner.
Okay. And then we have Destination Unknown with Slow Cabins Getaway.
Yeah, this is a really, this is a pretty cool one. This is be kind of up my street. So if you like want to take all the schlep and hassle away from seeking a destination, this company called slowcabins.ie have launched their first cabin stays this year. But the twist about them is you don't actually know where they are going to be located. So similar like to Burns Nest.
Oh, I love this.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So they're these are kind of Nordic design, so minimal, functional, very eco-sensitive. They are solar powered. You get a full tank of filtered rainwater. They plant a tree for every new booking. But your guess is as good as mine as to where they are. So they're meant to be 2.5 hours from any major city. So that's, I guess, Dublin and, well, you know, I'll let you decide what the other major cities in Ireland are. Cork, definitely. But and then you get the zip code and off you go. So it's a really, I think it's a really cool concept.
So you pay and you've no idea where you're going. You pay up front.
Don't know where
you're
going.
And then the key is obviously left like Airbnb style. Is it you don't meet anybody. You just arrive at this cabin in the middle of nowhere.
It's self-check-in. Wow. Now, there are four cabins that don't overlook each other in the same area. So you won't be totally on your tod. There are other people out there. And so not for control freaks, but definitely for someone who really likes the idea of switching off. Because I definitely find, I've done this a few times on my recent travels, that I've just kind of tried to focus on the property versus places that I don't know an awful lot about. And so this is a really nice option where you can just kind of, it's you time, you can just relax. It's a dreaded word, digital detox. So there's no Wi-Fi.
Love it.
There's no Wi-Fi. So you do get, I mean, so they encourage you to kind of, you know, charge your phone wisely with that solar power.
Okay, love that. And you know what? I have to say, the idea of choosing an accommodation as opposed to the destination, that's something for us to think about. Tom, as always, lovely chatting with you. Thanks for all the insider travel gossip there. That is all we've got time for today. John Cook is next with Drive Time. Have a lovely afternoon, guys, and I'll be back tomorrow.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.